Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishuvana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Franchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bevacha Paditanan Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Translation and commentary His Divine Grace Srila Isi Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Today's verse is 40, chapter 15, canto 7, chapter entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. If you read the newspaper, that's certainly needed nowadays, right? Please repeat. Atmanam ched vijaniyat param jnana tustashaya kim ichchan kasya va hetor deham pushnati Lampataha Atmanam Ched Vinaniyat Param Jnana Dushaya Kim Ichchan Kasya Vaheto Deham Pushnati Lampataha Atmanam ched vidaniyat Param jnana duschaya Kim ichcham kasya vaheto Deham pushnati lampataha Atmanam ched vidaniyat Param jnana duschaya Kim ichchan kasya vaheto Deham pushnati lampataha So please repeat Atmanam The soul and the super soul Chet If Vijaniyat can understand Param who are transcendental beyond this material world. Jnana, by knowledge. Jushta Ashayaha, one who has cleansed his consciousness. Kim, what? Ichchan, desiring material comforts. Kasya, for whom? Va, or? Hetoho, for what reason? Deham, the material body. Pushnati, he maintains. Lampataha, being unlawfully addicted to sense gratification. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. The human form of body is meant for understanding the self and the supreme self, the supreme personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendentally situated. If both of them can be understood, when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Please repeat. The human form of body is meant for understanding the self and the supreme self, the supreme personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendentally situated. If both of them can be understood, when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Purport, Srila Prabhupada. Of course, everyone in this material world is interested in maintaining the body for sense gratification. But by cultivating knowledge, one should gradually understand that the body is not the self. Both the soul and the supersoul are transcendental to the material world. This is to be understood in the human form of life, especially when one takes sannyas. A sannyasi, one who has understood the self, should be engaged in elevating the self and associating with the super self. Our Krishna conscious movement is meant for elevating the living being for promotion back home, back to Godhead. Seeking such elevation is one's duty in the human form of life. Unless one performs this duty, why should one maintain the body? Especially if a sannyasi not only maintains the body by ordinary means, but does everything to maintain the body, including even eating meat and other abominable things, he must be a lampata, a greedy person, simply engaged in sense gratification. A sannyasi must specifically remove himself from the urges of the tongue, belly and genital, which disturbs one as long as one is not fully aware that the body is separate from the soul. Srila Prabhupada Kita Mukam krojiva chalam bhangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatharinam atmanam chet vinyani yad param jnana dushtaya kim ichcham kashyavahe to deha pushnati lampataha. The human form of body is meant for understanding the self and the supreme self, the supreme personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendentally situated. If both of them can be understood, when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Yes. So this verse follows on from the previous verse, where Narada Muni is being very strong that it's abominable for a person living in the Grihastha ashram to give up the regulative principles, for a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru, for a vanaprastha to live in a village and engage in so-called social activities, or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should either reject him from any position, or, taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. So yes, Mrityu Samsaravatmani. What's that verse? Ashradha Dana Purushaha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsaravatmani. So Krishna is also very strong that having taken to the devotional process, if one falls down to sense enjoyment in an unregulated manner, sense enjoyment that is not prescribed but is actually against the regulations of one's vana and ashram, then the result will be very disappointing. Mrityu Samsaravatmani. Those that are not faithful on this process of devotional service cannot attain me, aprapyamam niva, but return to birth and death in the material world. So previous to this, and this is verse 40, Narada Muni has given so much instruction on Varnashram and devotional service, and now he is making the point that if you take to this process and you don't become chaste to the order of the spiritual master, to the order of the sadhu, to the order of the Veda, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, three authorities, if you let yourself become seduced by the material energy, then you will have to return to birth and death in this material world. Now of course Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Nahabrakamana Shosti, right? Trayate Mahatobayat. That if you do have some fall down, your sukriti, your bhakti sukriti, will maintain you in the material body of a human, at least, generally. But, and you will be trahate mahatobayat, you will be saved from descending into the animal species. That is a terrible thing. If you look at the animal kingdom, generally people don't die in the animal kingdom through natural causes. They become eaten by some other animal. It's a very vicious, horrible existence, full of kunta, full of anxiety. When is the big thing coming to eat me? What is that verse? Jivo jivasya jivanam, in the first canto. That in the material world, generally one living entity is food for another. So, who wants that? We may not be inspired by Prem Bhav. We may not be properly purified by advanced knowledge, but that much we must understand, that this material world, we can be inspired to leave it by the negative conditions. We may not be fully attracted to Radha Krishna, Nam Guna Rupa Leela. Our bhava may not have awoken, and in that happy condition, purified by advanced knowledge, we will attain Krishna. But that may not be so appealing for those that are in the neophyte condition, that are still attached to material sense gratification. So therefore we should be inspired by the negative. So therefore Prabhupada explains this very nicely. There was a time in London, Donovan, he was a pop singer. So he came to the manor and he was talking to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was explaining the inebrieties of the material world. How he was a pop singer, so he had some amount of fame and maybe material opulence and so on and so forth. And Prabhupada was explaining that this is all temporary and ultimately it's not satisfying to the soul because it's an alien stimulus. The soul is not satisfied. What is that verse? Sarve pumsam paradharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaja ahoitikiya pratyata yenatma suprasidati. So the highest dharma is to worship Krishna. Such dharma, such religious behavior, such yoga should be uninterrupted and unmotivated by desire for material stimulus and material knowledge. In order to yenatma supracedati, in order to completely satisfy the soul, unmotivated. That means not motivated by any desire for material acquisition. So, that is the highest dharma. Now we should be inspired to perform such activity. So this was being explained in so many words to this person, the inebrieties of the material world. So one devotee, one disciple, Prabhupada disciple, interrupted Prabhupada, which was of course not very good behavior. One shouldn't try to give instruction in the presence of a superior personality. What to speak of one spiritual master, a Mahabhagavat. But anyway, out of boyish enthusiasm, forgivable, he said, he interrupted and he said, "Donovan, don't you understand? Just follow the regulative principles and chant Hare Krishna and you'll get eternal life. Can't you understand that?" So Prabhupada said, he doesn't even understand the bad condition of material existence and you're asking him to take to the spiritual process. And we see this in Bhagavad Gita, yes. The first item of spiritual knowledge is that we're not this material body. That is in the second chapter. That's the first point made to Arjuna. Once he surrenders to Krishna as his guru, then, I'm your disciple, please instruct me. So,
Before that, Arjuna was in a state of lamentation and confusion. I don't know what to do, Krishna. I don't want to engage in this battle. And he was giving all sorts of reasons. Valid reasons from a material point of view. If I kill all these great Mahajans, then the women will be unprotected. Then there will be Vana Shankara. And then society will collapse. And he was speaking very big things. But Krishna said, no, Arjuna, you've missed the point. Human life is for self-realization. That is your primary aim. And you're speaking learned words, but it's just foolishness. Because your thoughts are not about surrender to the Vedas, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your thoughts are on adjusting the material situation for some kind of happiness in this material world. What is that verse? Nate vidu shastrakitim hi Vishnu durashaya ye bahaya. They do not know that the swa athakatim, the supreme goal, is the service of Vishnu. And then durashaya ye bahaya. They are then not being aiming at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his satisfaction and his realization, then they are durashaya. They are trying to adjust the material circumstances. But the material circumstances, even if you live in Swargaloka, it's temporary. Therefore, Krishna, dukalayam asashvatam. So, this point for the neophyte, for Arjuna, of course Arjuna is Mahabhagavat Nityasiddha, playing the role of confused soul, is very important for the neophyte, the person without knowledge. Because we are engaged, durasha, in the material energy by an enjoying spirit. We want to become the enjoyer of people, of material energy. We want to be the Supreme Personality. We want to be the center of the universe. But actually, one God brother, his mind's lit, he was telling me that he was once talking to Prabhupada here in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada, he was praising Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him, you know, if you read the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll become fully Krishna conscious. So it was Vishal of course. Vishal said, what is it, fully Krishna conscious? So Prabhupada explained, fully Krishna conscious means to see everything and everyone as belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to understand that everyone is his servant and that I am not the enjoyer. But everything is belonging to Krishna. What do we say? What does Krishna say? Mavai vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That the living entities, the angsa, they're mine. We're all part and parcel. Prabhupada gives the example like the thumb or the finger. So it is part and parcel of the body. And its duty and its satisfaction is to serve the body. Then the body, the digestion, everything comes to the finger. But if the finger tries to enjoy separate from the body, then it's useless. And can it enjoy? If the thumb tries to eat a rasgulla, No, the job of the thumb, the hand, the part and parcel is to feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All right? Then it gets its enjoyment and nourishment. So this is a very important point, that yes, anandamoy bhyasat, right in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadi Ashyata, that the first description of Krishna is that he is the source, and then his personality is anandamoy bhyasat. He is full of pleasure, he is self-satisfied, but he enters into Leela and he expands himself as the Angsa, as the Purusha Shakti, as the Shakti Tattva, to expand and to spread his enjoyment. But everything is centered on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Source. From him everything has emanated. So this symbiotic relationship is essential to be understood. So in this material world, it doesn't matter how much dhanam, janam, sundarim, how much money, how much status in society you have, how much profit, how much adoration, how much distinction, how much sex life, how much Hiranyakashipu, the soft bed and the gold. You may have a gold throne in a Boeing 707 because you're selling oil to the Americans or something and they want to keep you satisfied. So you may have all, but what is that will not give you supreme bliss. And if we enter into an analysis of history, we will find that the materialists, like especially exemplified by Ravana, do we hear about Ravana being in bliss? He even wrote a commentary on the Veda, you may know. But he mixed up the demons, they like the Dharma Artha Karma, calm. But they don't like Dharma Artha Karma Moksha. They don't want the fourth one. So they comment on the Veda, but they don't come, this is Pravritti Mark, regulated sense enjoyment, but they don't want to come to the final point, is that you should learn by enjoying the senses on the material plane that this is not superseded to you, you're not going to be happy. So this point is essential. Because if we can absorb this point, then we can dedicate ourselves to the struggle to control the material body and senses, and to control the material mind. We can dedicate ourselves to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Now you can learn that way and become purified, as Krishna's Narada Muni says here, by advanced knowledge. But if we are weak in that, if we think that there is still something to be had in the material world, then we're going to sit on the fence. We're going to be in that Tatastha region where we're not fully dedicated to the ISKCON Kavach, as given by Prabhupada. You know what the ISKCON Kavach is? It's got 25 elements, minimum 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, 3 Gayatris, that's 23. Of course, 16 is minimum. And then study the Shastra, gain advanced knowledge, and then distribute this knowledge, those two, 23 plus 2. So that is our systemology. Minimum 16 rounds, regulative principles, What are those regulative principles according to our varna and ashram are there? It is not that we say everyone must become like a python, lay down on the ground and wait for the food to come in the mouth, grab it nearby. No, there is all sorts of activities prescribed for civilized human beings. But this regulated sense enjoyment, sense activity, pravritti marg, must be counterbalanced by the understanding that ultimately moksha, nivritti marg. Nivritti marg means what? Shravanam Ketanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. The nine processes enunciated here earlier by Prahlad Maharaj. So this balance must be understood. But of the two, we must come to the platform of Nivritti Marg. This is Artha, Dharma, Artha, Karma, right? Moksha. So Bhagavatam explains what is actual moksha. What is that word? Mukti hitavan yata rupan swarupena avavastitihi. Real liberation from the material energy is to be situated in one's swarup, one's spiritual form. There's a letter to Rupanuga, 1969. I think it's April or July. April. Anyway, and Prabhupada explains, obviously the letter that Rupanuga wrote to Prabhupada is not there, but the reply is there. Rupanuga must have asked Prabhupada, what is the swarup? Where does it come from? Is it acquired externally or is it inherent? This is a big philosophical question. You can read the Vedanta Sutra, fourth corner, fourth section. That's the Moksha Adaya. The description of the liberated condition. Vedanta Sutra is Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan Moksha, description of liberated condition. So in verses 1 to 3, remember that, 4-4, 1 to 3, and there's a discussion there, and Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his commentary, Govinda Bhasya, makes it very clear that the swarup is inherent, that the soul, the jivatma, is like a seed. And within that seed, the tree is there. And when the conditions are correct, the soul will manifest his swarup. This happens at the stage of bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti, prior to that, we become purified by advanced knowledge. As Lord Chaitanya says, vidyavadu jivanam, anandam buddhivadanam. So once knowledge, inherent knowledge, comes from the soul, chetudapanamajanam, first purify the mind, bhavmahanibhagni, then the material agitation will become quelled, then this is the auspicious time, then the knowledge of the soul that is inherent, the cognition of the soul, the natural cognition of spiritual principles will become evident. After that knowledge section, then bhava maha nivagna, then you will develop bhava. You will realize your relationship with the Supreme Lord. Anandam buddhivardhanam. Then you are liberated. So Prabhupada in that letter, he explains in a condensed form, he explains, yes, there is swarup always, but it is lying dormant within the soul, just like the plant or the tree is lying dormant within the seed. And when the right conditions are there, the swarup manifests. And when the Swarup is manifest, is a manifestation of Prem Bhav, then there is no attachment to the material energy. So, Atato Brahma Jignas, this is Vedavyasa's summary of the Vedic knowledge in one. Now, Atato, civilized human being, now you have the human form of life, Brahma Jignas. Inquire into the Supreme. This is the aim of human life. So this is Nivritti Marg. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. This is Bhagavat section, the last five, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. That is Pancha Ritraki Vidhi. So everyone can hear about Krishna. Everyone can describe Krishna, Kirtan. Everyone can practice Smaranam. Everyone can Pada Sevanam, do some service. There is no restriction. But that art, that knowledge should be received in disciplic succession. Then one will become completely liberated. And one can be inspired in this way by the positive and the negative. This material world, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, it is a toilet. You do your business and you leave. You don't set up house in the toilet. You leave as soon as possible. So this material world should inspire us to leave. We shouldn't be inspired, durashaya, to think that by material adjustment, as Arjuna at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita was proposing, I'll adjust everything, Krishna. I'll talk, I'll leave the battlefield, I'll do this. And this is what's going on now in the material world, is it not? Everyone is theorizing. Now it's globalism. Before it was international communism that was being imposed. Then there's capitalism, and then there's anarchy, and so on and so forth. These are just theories, and they're going through a fashion. They're coming back with new labels, globalism, previously it was communism, international, so on. But nobody is finding any satisfaction, and we see the political and economic and environmental position of the world is not becoming enhanced by these theories and proposals devoid of Krishna consciousness, devoid of theism. And then you have all sorts of chaladharma, upadharma. I think Narada Muni earlier in this chapter, he explains the five pseudo-religions. Chaladharma means cheating religion, upadharma means man-made religion, and then there is this, anyway, we'll go back, we'll find it, one second. I think it's verse 12. Yes. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion, vidharma. That means against the principles of actual dharma. Religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma. That means trying to act as a sannyasi when you're still attached to material sense enjoyment. That kind of thing. Not acting. This is in the 29th chapter, 11th canto, when Krishna instructs Uddhava that piety means to act in accordance with your particular position, to perform religious principles that are suitable to your particular position. So, paradharma means to neglect that instruction and then put on a show of being a sannyasi when you're still attached to sense enjoyment, to be, as it said in the previous verse, the varnash you're taking vanaprastha, but you're still going to marriages and watching movies and so on thing. Then, pretentious religion, abhyas, that means a shadow or a semblance of religion. When there's no real heart, analogal religion, upadharma, that means man-made religion, concocted ideas. There's so many books in the world that are propagandized as the word of God, but they're just full of mythology. They've been changed for thousands and thousands of years. There was a new version, a new interpretation. This is upadharma, man-made religion. And then there is cheating religion, chaladharma, where you just actually have no religious intent, but you're acting in a religious external way to make money, to attract women, and so on and so forth. So this is against the principle, and you can pursue this kind of behavior for millions of lifetimes. Unless you come to the point, and it's also here, of understanding what is real religion. Here it is, verse 8. Persons who want to advance in superior religion are advised to give up all envy of other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, words, or mind. That means body racism, harsh words, mental aggression, writing bad things about other people, other religions. There is no religion superior to this, to give up all envy of all living entities. As we say, Vishal was telling me, to see all living entities and all the material energy and all the expansions of Krishna as belonging to Krishna. And that is also there in the 11th canto, 29th chapter, Paramahamsa Samhita, it is generally known as Krishna's instruction to Vidura. No, not Vidura, sorry. Uddhava. Because Uddhava sent Krishna sent Uddhava to see the gopis, because Uddhava was considered the most advanced of the Yadu dynasty, but Krishna wanted him to see the next level of supreme dharma. So he sent him with messages to the gopis. I am always within your heart. And this wasn't very well received by the gopis. Radharani chastised the bumblebee. But when Uddhava saw the gopis, then he saw what is real dharma. When he saw their separation, when he saw their complete distress, spiritual distress, to have the object of their service absent. Huh? And this is taught by Mahaprabhu, Vipralamba Seva Bhav. This is especially the gift of Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga, that Kali Yuga is the most fallen age, but it is also the greatest age. Because the most intimate aspects of service to the Supreme Personality are illustrated and propagated by Yuga Avatar, Jana Avatar, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Uddhava saw this, he thought, yes. So Krishna instructed Uddhava. He said, how you can conquer this envy? Because we're envious, right? We don't like this person. He's from a different country. I don't like his nose. It's the same shape as somebody who beat me up when I was in the school playground. We have all these psychological problems. I don't like the way he spoke to me. Words, thought. He's not respecting me. He's a this and he's a that. This is envy. It is not the tolerance, the generosity of a Vaishnava. How we can get rid of this enviousness and replace it with compassion? Shri Chaitanya Kripa Baro Bhuvivabho. Srinivasacharya says the six Goswamis, they were receptacles of the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Why? And they were loved by the dhira and adhira, the sober and non-sober. Everyone loved the six Goswamis because they were non-envious. Same thing with Srila Prabhupada. I met Srila Prabhupada, completely sublime personality. Huh? Can you imagine going to such a terrible place as New York, 40 rupees and a bag full of Bhagavatams? Why did people flock to Prabhupada? Because instead of envy, which is often a component of material consciousness, Prabhupada was full of compassion. So Uddhava, how you can get rid of this envy? You meditate that the Supreme Lord is within everybody, every soul, every entity, in two ways. Mavaivamsa Jiva Loke, he's expanded. We've said this many times. Sometimes people think, oh, I'd like to see an avatar, an expansion of Krishna. You're sitting next to one. That every living entity, even the monkeys, are expanded of Krishna. So every soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Huh? Jiva Angsa. And the second way, also within this material body, the Supreme Lord is situated, Vishnu. So if we meditate in that way, that every living entity, plant, tree, even microbes, they have the Supreme Lord there, and they are an expansion of the Supreme Lord. And if we are dedicated to spiritual knowledge, then we can become free of envy. And we can become receptacles of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we become the object of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favor. Then the path of bhakti is wide open. Then the path to Krishna is as broad as can be found. But at the same time, this particular section we're reading today, we should remember that if we stray from that path, then we're going to learn the hard way. If Krishna is merciful, Krishna will give us a slap. Durga Devi. That is also in the Navadvip Mahatmyam by Navadvip, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maya Devi approaches Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and she's in lamentation. And she explains, all the Vaishnavs condemn me. I'm the Maya Devi. I'm to be rejected. So Mahaprabhu explains to her, Nityananda explains, no, don't think like that, Devi. You are an expansion of, ultimately, of Swarup Shakti, Srimati Radharani. And you are doing the greatest service. Because you, when the Vaishnavas stray from the path, you push them back. Because when we're in this state of sadhana, stage of sadhana, we have to become very careful about association, regulation, chanting regularly the ISKCON Kavach. And then we're safe from the Maya Shakti. So then Maya Devi, this is Tattva, this is Leela, she could understand, yes. This is the mercy of Mahaprabhu. I am actually doing a wonderful service because I'm enthusing the devotees to understand, study the Shastra as we see here, gain advanced knowledge, become free from contaminated association. And then go back to Godhead and live eternally with Krishna in a state of unlimited bliss. Srila Prabhupada ki, and never stop chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Alright, thank you all very much. If there's a quick question, I'll endeavor. Okay, the only question on your mind now is, what's for breakfast? Alright, thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada, Vrindavan Dham, Srimati Radharani, Ki Jai.